If you were to ask the question, how many times has Let It Go been played in our house? I will let you know that I am in the 0.001% Spotify listeners.
It's not like you get the like iOS 14 update come through or whatever, and like now you're the updated version, like new me, better me.
In the original language, it's like we become a new species. Like our DNA is made different. We're made different people.
Relationships, other people, success and failure, money, current events, morality, all of the above, all fall under that. A new creation, you see the world through a different lens.
Hello and welcome to the Sunday Huddle. As always, we're just so grateful to be sponsored by Sports World. Their support allows us to do this podcast every week. Man, we're so glad you join us. And also, as always, super glad to be joined by Brian Hasley. How are we doing, Brian?
Yoo-hoo. Doing well.
Everything good in your world?
Exquisite.
Wonderful. And then again, Nathan. Nathan, how's it going, buddy?
Doing great.
Things good, okay?
We're doing all right. What was the yoo-hoo?
Yoo-hoo.
That's
big
from
summer
something.
Blowout.
Yeah.
Is that from something? What's the movie is that from?
It's from Frozen. Just, you know, because of the
I should know that.
Cold weather that came in. We also saw Frozen the musical.
I should know that. If my family actually watched our podcast, they would be really that I didn't get that reference.
About most of the time, I'm grateful when they don't listen to it sometimes. You know what I mean? Because I know it's been said that on these that we've
right. Yeah. Actually, I was thinking about the Frozen musical. And it was good. It was good. It was put on at a local high school. And there are actually, when you see the movie and then you see the musical, obviously there's some changes. And it was crazy that whenever you put something from on screen into a live situation,
how's it go?
A lot of things have to change to make that happen. And it was kind of cool because obviously, you know, it's real life and there's not all the graphics.
They didn't actually like shoot ice out of their hands.
So number of times that Frozen's been viewed in your household.
The whole thing?
Yeah.
Oh, not that many.
Okay.
We parse it out into several different times. They only get a little amount of time for screen. Now,
oh my gosh, oh my gosh, is that right?
All right? If you were to ask the question, how many times has Let It Go been played in our house? I will let you know that I am in the 0.001% Spotify listener to that particular song.
Know all the words to you. Well, your house, house full of boys. We watch Frozen a bunch of times.
I want to say a bunch of times. We've seen it before, but
yeah,
no, they're big on Chronicles of Narnia right now. So
lucky.
Wow.
Not the most age specific.
His kids love Jesus more than yours do. But the thing is, even though he's limiting screen time to such an amount, and your kids are listening to stuff that's edifying and
he's a better
Christ.
Parent. Yeah, though. So we don't, yeah.
I do let my kids watch Lord of the Rings, which is also, it's also funny because the movie version is obviously a lot of change from the books.
The book, and you prefer the book, right?
No. Tolkien did his best.
I love how Brian is trying to work the word change as many times as he can in a sentence to see if you'll take it and run with it.
I didn't want to. I didn't buy any of them because I thought none of them were good.
So. Change.
Yes, we can.
Yes. So the change that takes place in one's life is we're going to talk to that today. So if someone says that they're going to be, that they are a Christian, that they became a Christian, what changes? Like what is the change that should be noticed, is noticed, change that takes place? What's the notice when someone claims to be a Christian? I think it's super easy to kind of say this stuff, right? We think of other places and other parts of this world where people are being persecuted for their faith. To say you're a Christian, it takes something, and there's a cost and there's a price for it. So, you know, you become a Christian, what does that mean? What change takes place?
Yep. I think that we see the answer in 2 Corinthians 5. Obviously, we become a new creation. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and then behold, the new has come. So I always think of it like in the top of the umbrella of there's lots of change underneath this, but it's you become a new creation. And that means that we have a new perspective and that we have a new purpose. And then, again, all the little things kind of come within that.
But yeah, I was concerned. I'm so glad because we all have 2 Corinthians 5:17. Sure, I'm sure on here. It's an interesting verse. Therefore, everyone is in Christ is new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. In the original language, it's like we become a new species. Like our DNA is made different. We're made different people because we're going to talk about the changes that takes place. But it's very, very careful that we get this on the front side of that. Like, because if not, it sounds like, oh, I see this list of things that we have to do in order to be called a Christian. But you're saying, no. Up front, we have to be made brand new creatures
right.
In Christ Jesus.
It's not like you get the like iOS 14 update come through or whatever. And like now you're the updated version, like new me, better me. I don't know what iOS number 14 could be a long time.
First of all, that's a great analogy. Much better than your artificial change introduction. Okay, go ahead. Yes, go ahead. Yes, a change that takes place.
Oh, yeah, no. So as soon as you become saved, you never sin again.
That is so good. That is so good.
You obviously start giving probably more than 10% and a lot more than 2.5%, as some would say.
That's right. There's other faces say that.
No, you never get angry. No, it is important that – I like the way that – obviously we talked about 2 Corinthians 5:17 and that we are a new creation, but I was joking for those who didn't realize. No, that with the Holy Spirit, once it takes over, we do – I like how you said a new species. I've never heard it put like that, but that actually is true, because even though we are still going to fall short of perfection – I know that's a surprise for y'all to hear that coming from me.
Yeah.
But even though that we are still sinning, we are now that Jesus being a propitiation for our sins, we're now covered by the Lamb of God. We have a new heart. All things are made new through them. And so our outlook on life, the biblical lens that we have, the Christian perspective we have, has changed how we see things.
Yeah. And so we're kind of leaning in on that. I'm glad we are. And this is not the direction I anticipated, but we're actually declared perfect. Not practically, but positionally. Mm-hmm. There's certain declarations that are made us, like judicial declarations that are made of us, that we're no longer guilty of our sin, that we've been made right in the eyes of God, even though practically we're different. Because often what we think of, and we're going to talk about some of these things, but often what we think of is, and a quote I've given here many times, that Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. Mm-hmm. So the primary change that we want to emphasize on is that we're made brand new in Christ Jesus. We're declared righteous. Positionally, though not practically. But then, if that takes place, if this fundamental change in our spiritual DNA takes place, what does that look like? I mean, shouldn't we look different, be different, act different?
Right. So that exact question of shouldn't we look, act, and be different, I think that's what trips a lot of people up whenever we're talking about, like, maybe someone accepts Christ, and we see this with teenagers a lot, of you accept Christ, and you kind of think everything is going to, like, I'm going to be a way better person when that happens. Like, all that stuff is going to change. So then we're confused whenever, man, I gave my life to Jesus, yet I'm still like this old temptation is coming back up. I'm struggling still, like the sin of lust and of pride are still like there and a temptation for me. So then we start to doubt, well, if that stuff is still there, like, am I actually a new creation then? Am I actually saved? Which the enemy wants us to think, right? Wants us to have that doubt in our mind of is this a reality? So you're right. It's important to know that we're a new creation and that we are declared righteous on the behalf of Jesus' righteousness and not our own. And then certainly, as we'll get into, that does change the way that we act and the way that we live as well.
Right. And it's so cool too, as we go into aspects of sanctification, that salvation is different. It's a light switch. It's on and off. It's not this gradual, dimmer switch.
Good. Love the analogy. Use it often. That's great, right? He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life.
Yes.
And so we think it's a dimmer switch. So when is it bright?
Right.
Well, I don't know. It's that stage there, not that stage there, right? Right. No. The Bible said, he who has son has life, he who does not have son does not have life. It's an on or off switch. Well said.
And so in knowing that, we can have comfort that as we are, sanctification is the process as we are growing closer to God. When we think of the Bible verse of iron sharpens iron, it's pretty much a gruesome aspect where you're shaving off these flakes, these imperfections. And the same thing as we are growing in our walk with Christ, that the imperfections, the sin that we have, the things of this world that we know are separating us from God that we sometimes turn to, we start to see those more clearly as to what they are and repent and turn towards Him.
So I read an article that was talking about this, and I want to be careful again. And I'm glad we spent and dedicated so much time to what it is to be a Christian first. I read it online. It's a checklist to determine if you're a Christian.
Ooh.
So I got to be careful because there's only one thing on the checklist, and then we have to be born from above.
Right.
We have to recognize we're sinners as God makes us aware, repent of our sins as He gives us the ability to do. He gives us His righteousness as we give Him our sinfulness. So that's the checklist, right?
Right.
And so I want to be careful as we go into this checklist. What we're not saying, not saying, hey, if you do these things, then you're obviously saved.
Right. What is Christianity today? Teach us about it.
Thank you, my only source. Right? It says this, what do I love more, the world or God? And I read that and I was kind of slightly convicted of it. And it's just, I said, well, it depends on what day, right? It depends on what day, right? So I think that's not a, I think it's a fair thing though, right? What do we love more, the world or God? That should be an indication of whether or not we're a believer, yeah?
Yeah, for sure. I think that it gives us, I kind of mentioned from the top, one of the big umbrella parts of it is it gives us a new, we have a new purpose. So mm-hmm. like we now live, we don't live for ourselves anymore. We live for him. So if I'm asking that question, well, definitely there are days, right, where I am living like I'm living for myself and
yeah.
the things for myself, which would be a worldly way. Like I care yeah. more about the world. But yeah, you're right. That's definitely one of the things that changes.
Number two, I'll let you go this one because I actually like this one. I think this answers what part of what you were talking about. It says, does sin reign in my life? I think I actually like that observation because it doesn't say you don't sin.
Right.
But does sin reign in your life? That says something about us, right?
Right. I hate and love these questions because I feel like the answer is for all of them. I'm like, well, I mean, if you look at a timeline, I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
Does sin, I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I sin daily. I promise you that. It's,
yeah.
So that's where I like the thought exercise, but simultaneously, it depends because you used the analogy a long time ago, and I love it, of how when you are getting closer to a window, like you think you've got the house is clean, and then as you get closer and closer to the window, you see all the dust particles that you missed. I think that in the same thing, as you get closer and closer to understanding scripture and stuff, you realize, man, so that's why for me it's a little, there's definitely some tension as I want to answer these questions honestly and not just dismiss my sins.
Yeah. Thoughts on that one?
Yeah. And I think it's the difference in not just the sinning, but the sin is not what defines who you are
right.
anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, because we're a new creation. That's what defines who you are. Whereas whenever we are, sin is reigning in our life, I would interpret that as, well, sin is like defining who you are.
Yeah. That was an important thing. It's a overarches who we are. That would be the representative of it. But also I think that whether or not I sin, I feel conviction or not.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, you know, does it rain in my body? Am I grieved by my sin was another one they had. And when we feel conviction, when we do what we're wrong, but you know, it depends on what day and what time, because I can feel really entitled a lot of times, right? I'm inconvenienced at an airport, you know, when I stay in, it's called the Admiral's Club. I do something like that, you know, the food wasn't good or whatever else like that. So there's a part of me that yes, I'm grieved by my sin, and then no, I'm not grieved by my sin. And I do thank God that the sanctification process is taking place. You know, I'm not, I deal with different sins than I did before.
Right.
Now they're my motivations. They're internal. You know, even as having a conversation with someone where I'm trying to share my faith and they give me a ridiculous argument and I simultaneously want to win them to the Lord and embarrass them.
Right.
Right. And those two things are competing in my life. Right. So that doesn't say much. I may not be saved if I read this. This will be great content if I get saved on air.
Right.
But does it reign in my body and does it rule over who I am?
Right. I was listening to a podcast this week. And I cannot remember for the life of me if it was Matt Chandler or Jonathan Pecluda that was doing it, but they were going over this survey and they were basically asking pastors, like, how do you feel God thinks of you? And they mean it in the way of like, do you think God's proud to have you on his team or God's ashamed kind of thing?
Mm.
And it was a good thought exercise, not to be taken literally of like, yeah. Oh man, God's disappointed in you. But 30 of the 33 pastors that were asked the question felt that they were not living up to expectations.
Wow.
And I think that, again, this is where there's this tension is. And it's one to be an encouragement to us to remind us that no, God loves you. Again, it's a switch. It's on. You are his. And the value of something is the price someone is willing to pay. Jesus paid it all. Jesus changes everything. So remember that we are free in there. But then there's also this aspect as we grow towards sanctification that everybody who is looking at sin and taking sin seriously, there are things that we can do to improve that we have to, again, don't beat yourself up over it, but at the same time, understand like the weight of our sin.
That's funny. I got to see that. So 30 out of 33, that's a high number. I don't know. So I don't know where to lean on that.
Right?
Because if you said 33, yeah, I'm killing it right now. You know what I mean? Wait a minute. There's a problem here, a pride problem.
Right.
But if they recognize indeed that they could do more for the Lord, that they could, I think that's right. As we come closer to God, we see more of our imperfections. I don't know, man. Are you of the 30 or are you of the 3? Pastor Nathan,
I'll be of the 30. I mean, I mean, I think that there is like it's healthy, like as you just mentioned, Brian. It's healthy to just to recognize the weight of our sin and the gravity of it, and to not ignore it. But at the same time, to recognize too that again, that is not who we are. That's
right.
Not what defines who we are. And my recognition of my sin and the goodness of God drives me closer to Him and not into like the pit of despair,
exactly,
where I like am like sulking and just being overwhelmed by shame and guilt. Because Scripture is also clear that's not what God has for us either. Another thing that I think kind of changes a lot, just a big one that would be a big change, when you accept Christ is just the lens that you see the world through. Mm. Like, I've used the analogy with our students a lot of times of you put on different pairs of glasses and things are going to look differently. I know for me, I got glasses. I have horrible eyesight. I don't know if y'all couldn't tell. I'm wearing contacts right now.
Wow.
I know. anyway, I have horrible eyesight. I remember in sixth grade, the first time I got glasses,
how'd they go?
I remember putting on my glasses and I got home and I remember thinking like, man, the grass is so sharp. It's so sharp. This is crazy. And like just looking around the car of like the same world that had been there before all of a sudden looked like entirely different. And I was able to see things through a different lens, literally, with that. And when we accept Christ, it's like we have a different lens now.
Yeah.
You know, one of our main goals with the podcast, we would say, is we want to help people see the world with like a biblical worldview through the lens of the Bible. So when you accept Christ, that's now the lens you look at things like your relationships, other people, success and failure, money, current events, morality, all of the above all fall under that now. When you're a new creation, you see the world through a different lens now.
See the world differently, just what a great analogy, and you see yourself rightly. Like it says, we're looking in a mirror. Right. We look in the world. We're looking in a mirror, and we got to rightly discern who we are and see ourselves for who we are. That's indeed a great point.
Right, and as we think of it too, with that new lens and everything, as Matthew 6:33 teaches us first, like we'll seek first the kingdom of God. Like that's the cool thing about it, and all the other things that will be added unto us. And it starts with that biblical worldview that we're able to again see clearly, so that way. We can seek first and all the rest of the blessings that come from that.
So I was looking at this. There's another one. Number 7, do I deny Christ or proclaim him? And I thought about this. You know, I think that that are we bold in our faith and why we do that? I was listening to this debate the other day, and this guy was talking about how as believers, he was an atheist, that said believers do this because they want other people to believe like they do, so it makes them feel more comfortable in their belief. And I was thinking intellectually as he said that no, the reason we want to witness and share our faith is because we recognize our faith is true. And these people are separated from God for all of eternity, apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ. So we should have a passion. Think about this. I mean, I really thought about that much, you know, that we ought to want to tell people about our faith if we truly believe it's true. And in fact, by not sharing our faith, we're kind of saying, I only kind of halfway believe I know it's harder for other people. I'm not saying that they can all, you know, share like us, but it's harder for more difficult. But we ought to share our faith, right? Proclaim him?
Absolutely. And another thing, 1 Peter 1:3, is that he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. That hope that we have is what we get to share with other people. So yes, absolutely, that is something that we should be doing.
Yes.
Here's one, Nathan. And this one, I want to give the caveat that we are not giving you a list of things that you have to do, but am I spending regular time in Bible study and prayer? Mm. And I thought, yeah, okay, I get that. And I understand that, but it's not a box to be checked, but it's that if I love God and I want to hear from God. And the way that I hear from God is I got to hear from him through his perfect word.
Yeah. I mean, if we claim to, this is probably an overused analogy, but if I claim to love my wife and my wife has left me, she's gone for a long period of time, whatever, she has left me this letter that is to me with all these things in there. Like, well, if I love her deeply, I'm going to read that all the time, right? Yeah. I'm going to keep it close by. I'm going to study it all the time. So,
and he will clean the kids' room, and he won't let the kids watch Frozen.
Yeah.
He's going to go off the entire list. Yeah.
Then it's the same thing, right? God's left us his word, and we know, if you're accepting Christ, man, we know, like, it's the word of God. It's the living, breathing word of God, and it has the power to change us. It's the guide for us. Then we ought to want to be close to that. Now, it's hard.
Let's talk about both sides of our mouth now.
It's hard.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Yep. Because there are, I'm not going to pretend like I wake up every single morning and I sit there and I'm like, man, I am so excited. God speaks me through this. There are times like that, right? But there's also times, like, I'll just be real, like this morning where I woke up and I was like,
He's got a baby. He doesn't sleep at night.
Like, I need to get my Bible time in and stuff. Where it does feel more like when we call it a discipline, because it's a discipline, right? Where I feel like that. I think that what that's getting at there is, are you willing to push past those things? And it doesn't mean like, hey, do you miss X amount of days in a week? Well, then nope, not a Christian.
Boom, right.
Cut that out. But do you have any kind of desire whatsoever to get into the Word of God?
And you've never regretted doing so.
Ever.
Ever.
Never.
Then that's the problem. Yeah.
Right.
Never. And I'm studying through Numbers right now.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Right.
Yeah.
Another thing that I think of, and I'm kind of curious actually, since we're talking about change, you've talked in the past about people counting the cost.
Yeah.
And what that looks like. And so along the same vein of what you asked, people need to, like, if they're saying, man, do I have to change before I can start getting right with God? I want to come to church, but I feel I'm being judged for it. Like, how would we approach that?
Yeah. So, you know, God hasn't called us to be, he's called us to be fishers of men, not cleaners of fish. Right. And so we get them to God, and God will essentially begin to start it. But we do need to count the cost. That it might cost. I tell this young people also, it might cost you friends. But those that it costs you, it's going to bring you that which is greater. It's never a loss, and it's always a gain. But yeah, we do need to count the cost. And sometimes the cost is real, right? Sometimes the cost is significant in our callings and our vocations, and God can do that. But it is, and that's an important time. So, and that's kind of what I'll kind of get there toward the end here. It says, do I long, reading the Bible and praying, do I long to worship and fellowship with others? I'm telling you, probably more than I ever have in talking to some people at the gym where I work out that profess to be Christians or say are Christians, and I don't doubt that they are, but just that, man, I don't really go to a local church. Mm-hmm. I just kind of do my thing on my own, or I just kind of go to a bunch of different churches and just kind of visit, and I don't ever really connect in a local church. For me, that's just a red flag, right?
Oh, for sure. I mean, some local church obviously is something Jesus speaks much of and very deeply loves and talks about the importance of that in the life of a believer. So it's tough. Again, we don't know people's heart and their salvation. Not trying to play that game. But if I love Jesus, but I don't value the things that he values, then that's a tough one.
Yeah. Fellowship with the local church.
I mean, if you look at the early church, like that's all they did. That's our, you know, the socialists even like to point that out.
Yeah. The local church, I'm going to tell you that, I love the local church. I love being in church. I love being around people. I love seeing people. Both times I get there a year.
I was about to say, it'd be nice to see you every once in a while.
Brian was waiting.
He's waiting for my lips to stop moving. So that's, we should question his salvation, y'all. But we should long to fellowship and be with others 100%. And be in the community of other believers that we can be edified. We can encourage one another. And again, that doesn't mean you're saved or not. But I certainly would question someone who's not connected to a local church and accountable to a local church. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we want to surround ourselves with like-minded people sometimes with in the business world or whatever, or if it's sports, I want to go watch the game alongside people who are either cheering for the team that I'm cheering for or the opposite team, because it's kind of fun sometimes.
That's right, yeah.
Right? Or in the business world, you would say, well, hang out with people that are where you want to be, right? Where you want to get, like be around those people. So it's a similar idea of if it's important to me, my faith is important to me, well, then I want to be around people who also their faith is important to them, who are like, hey, I'm saying the number one most important thing in my life is Jesus. Well, I want to be around people who also say the number one most important thing in their life is Jesus.
And I'm going to take away the spiritual component of that and just the practical application of that, that when you're around people that are better at a specific skill set, more knowledge, you grow in that.
Right.
Oh, yeah. You just sit silently and shut up and, you know, don't let them know your ignorance by speaking. That they're, you know, we have the common aphorism with that, right? But nevertheless, to just sit and to be around people, to listen to people talk about God's word. Man, I can't tell you the number of times I've grown just to listen to a conversation that's well above anything I can understand.
Right. Because of your size 54 font, I want to read the last one that you have. Do I have peace is the last question.
Yeah. And what do you think?
I love that because, again, Romans 8:1, like there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Like that is so exciting and such great news is that we are saved. And again, a price that we could never pay, that Jesus paid it all. And like, we should have peace with that. We should be the most joyful people. The change that we talk about, like any actual changes when we become a Christian, my goodness, yes, we are called to be lights in this world.
And so it's a vertical peace that you speak of, but it's also a horizontal peace. Right? That we have peace in the way that the things that come into our life that we can't control. And nevertheless, God says, I give you peace that over all this, a peace that surpasses all understanding. He says that we can't even possibly comprehend or fathom, that's even in contradiction to our circumstances.
100%.
God gives us this peace. He gives us this. And first, we have to have peace with him. So bracket it off, parenthetically say that we started off and said we have to have peace with God in order to be able to do this. These things are all things that are examples, symptoms of being known by Christ. If not, you're going to find yourself your entire life dealing with symptoms, negative symptoms. Mm-hmm. But you need to get to the core of it, come to know Christ, and he will begin to change you and transform you.
Yep, yes, indeed. Well, hey, thank you for listening, wherever that is, whether it be on the radio, Apple, Spotify, YouTube, any of those. If you're on Apple or Spotify or one of the podcasting platforms, then we would love if you would take just a few seconds to go and leave us a 5-star review. That helps a lot as we seek to push us out to more people.
Peace!